Thank you much, and welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Yeah, you got the B Squad today. I'm here for Eric, who's ailing. And as I said, we're going to give him every injection known to man here before, so he's back with you on Monday. I got up this morning about 4:30 and looked at the Endon website, and saw it was already 15 below up in Langdon, and we went from 10 above to 10 below in about 20 minutes in the southern end of the Red River Valley. Now, we're not going to blame the Endon director, but man alive, Daryl Richeson, that was cold, hard facts I had to face early this morning.
It really was. It's funny you mention that, because one of my staff members about 10, 15 minutes ago was in my office, and we were looking at temperature traces last night and how it just everybody fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about that, and it actually snowed in the northern Red River Valley, and we have some experimental equipment on our station out by Amarillo west of Grand Forks, courtesy really of the University of North Dakota Atmospheric Science Program. And this one of our sensors up there had visibilities down to like 81 meters, so just a little bit over 100 yards.
Wow.
As it went through last night. So it didn't last long, but if you're on Highway 2 traveling east-west at about 1 o'clock this morning, I think you probably had to pull over.
Yeah.
It was just a whiteout for about 10, 15 minutes. So, yeah, it didn't quite that bad down here, but yeah, boy, that was an Arctic front.
Yeah, I thought La Nina was over and we were supposed to start warming up here. So thankfully this is a short-lived cold snap, but what do you see in the cards for the weekend and beyond?
Well, the weekend, you know, most people have heard, you know, it will warm up. You know, our snowpack will keep us from getting too warm, but you know, the odds I think really favor after 5, 6, 7 days of it being a little bit more tolerable temperature-wise, that, you know, another Arctic front's going to come through probably middle of the month sometime and get us down to, winter.
Yeah, winter is far from over.
You know, it's just that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just where we live, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, well, what everybody listening wants to know is Daryl's forecast. Now, they were all at the meetings here during the winter and got your winter and spring forecast, but so what's your latest thought on, are we going to have an average spring, an early spring, or a dry spring? What do you think?
I think it's going to be tough to have too early of a spring, really because of that one snowstorm in December. You know, if we could take away that one snowstorm in December, we would be having an open winter outside of that little stretch through central North Dakota that got, you know, hit by two big snowstorms. Most of us only got hit by one. So it just makes a world of difference, but it's just going to take time to melt this away. So I think, you know, the odds of early would be pretty tough because we have a foot of snow to melt. And, of course, it's going to snow a little bit, you know, of some consequence, you know, as we go through the next couple of months as well. But, you know, my analog package that I showed to everyone, you know, if we think of spring as April and May, those 61 days, you know, I thought would be average, maybe a smidge below for precipitation and probably colder than average again. But, you know, as I always joke in all the farm shows I've been at this winter, including three this week, has been, you know, really, when was the last time we had a warm spring?
Yeah.
So we haven't had too many this century. So that should come as nobody's surprise. But if that does work out, you know, that would mean a tremendously better plant season than we had last year. And truth be told, you know this as well as me, Mick, how could it be any worse than last year? You know, so even if it's a tough spring, it probably won't be as bad as last year. But it looks optimistic to me that if we can avoid that big storm, say sometime in April, that we'll actually get out and do our planting on time this year.
Yeah, a little dry in the, you know, and then you'll get all the seed in the ground, then it can rain for a week. That would be just great. But it is... And we've got this dichotomy of weather going on in South America. Too dry in Argentina, wet or just perfect in Brazil. Is that a barometer at all for what might happen in the Northern Hemisphere later?
Yeah, I would lean towards no, in the sense that really the Northern and the Southern Hemisphere kind of operate independently of each other on it. You know, I gave a talk on Brazilian weather to the Northern Crop Institute here at NDSU back in October, and I said, you know, this was going to make some of you probably chuckle, but I go, I really think especially northern tier of Brazil will end up getting too wet this year, and in turn might have flooding problems as they're trying to start their soybean harvest, whereas Argentina remains dry. And when you say things like that, you know, I base it on my analog packages and look around, and at least here in the short term, that's actually happened. Yeah. Here in the last, you know, 10 days or so down there. But hopefully, for their case, that, you know, it'd be a benefit to the United States if it kept raining. But for their case, that, you know, the rain will end. But, you know, you always have to think about the United States as well. You know, how many times Iowa is really, really wet, we're really dry, or we have too much moisture, they're begging for moisture. You know, when you get on that hemispheric level or continental level, I should call it, you just can get such huge extremes from one spot to another. And that certainly has been the case in South America lately.
Oh, man, I don't know how many folks saw on Twitter. There was the field-to-market roads down there are not concrete. They are not pavement. They are not even gravel. They're just dirt roads. And miles and miles of semis bringing seed and fertilizer and pesticides to the field, and miles of semis bringing harvested crops to the coast. They were stuck in the mud, and there was nothing going either direction. So, yeah, there's some extreme weather down there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, that's quite the scene, by the way.
Yeah.
You missed it.
What, 50-50 on, you know, maybe a normal spring, it might not be early, but it might be a little dry. That's okay. The growing season, summer growing season, what are we leaning towards?
Well, at all my talks this winter, you know, starting to really last October, November until, you know, I gave one last evening, and I was at the wheat show out on the 70th annual spring wheat show out in Williston yesterday, early in the morning, speaking. But all of these talks, I've been saying the same thing. I really haven't seen anything, Mick, to change my mind. Is in some ways, it looks to me like this year might be slightly opposite of last year. Last year, we started off way too wet and finished off really, really dry. This year, I go, you know, we have the snowpack, so it's hard to think of dry, but I just think the spring will at least be average, if not a little bit below in precipitation. So once we get into Memorial Day, you know, last year, Memorial Day, everyone just wanted it to stop raining, and it did. Mm-hmm. This year, I go, you know, maybe at the end of May, early June, it's like, when is it going to rain? But I really think the rain's going to come. All of my analogs, and there's four of them for this year that I'm using, really have a pretty wet June. And so in turn, I go, I hope it's not too wet. You know, the soil's really dry, you know, so we could absorb a lot more than, say, a lot of Junes in recent history. But I think the precipitation's going to come, and then in typical fashion, you know, the summer would just kind of, you know, we just tend not to get most years a lot of moisture in August and early September. But if my analog package is close, that really sounds like a very favorable 2023 to me, much more so, say, than the last couple of summers.
Yeah.
So that's what my analog package that I've been going with says, Mick, you know, and as I always say, take it for what it's worth. The last few years, my analog set has been really, really good. That doesn't mean it's going to be really, really good in 2023.
Sure. And for the folks who are wondering, your analog package, that means this year seems to compare to certain years in the past. What are those years?
I never give that out, man.
Okay, all right.
Not even to you.
Okay.
I, you know, people ask me that a lot, and I go, honest to goodness, folks, I would give those years out to my wife if she asked.
Okay. Well, I totally respect that.
A deeply guarded secret.
You bet. Proprietary.
People plagiarize them. In the past, when I used to give them out, I would find them all over the place. All of a sudden, all these people would start using these analog gears. And I go, whoa, I'm not going to give my analog gears out anymore. So I probably, in about 8 years now, I haven't given them out. And I also usually don't let people record me when I'm giving my forecast, because people plagiarize that stuff.
Yeah.
Too. So sorry, Vic.
That's okay. Let the bums on the other station figure it out for themselves, right?
Thank you. Exactly. Okay. Good way of putting it, actually.
All right. Well, so far, I'm a lot more optimistic as far as whether it's putting wheat in the ground in the spring, getting corn in, soybeans. You know, a good June rain would be pretty good. The summer floods that we have come from these 10 to 15-inch July thunderstorm rains that we get. So June rains better than July storms, which end up putting galvanized steel in somebody's field a mile away from the pole barn.
True, you know, but, you know, the sad reality is if, you know, if we get some good rains in June, like my analog packages suggest, you know, the reality is, and people always have to remember this, our summer precipitation almost always comes with severe weather. Yeah. It's just the nature of the beast. But I always try to remind people that when you severe weather comes through, you always hear about the bad that happens with the severe weather. You don't hear about, you know, 90% of the area actually was a good thing. They got a good rain out of it. But, you know, again, that's just where we live. So if my analog package is reasonably close, that means we'll probably have a little bit more severe weather this summer than we've had in the past few summers.
Well, that's,
but, you know, that will mean, you know, some fields are going to get lost with high winds. Some fields will be lost with hail. But at the same time, you know, these rains are also sometimes a $1 or $2 billion rain because of all the benefit that that rain brought too.
I was looking at a phenology website. It's a nature thing, and spring leaf out is happening in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas. Spring is happening down in the, and they're getting ice and rain and severe weather down there. So yeah, that's just a part of the package.
Yeah, and that ice is pretty nasty down there. Really feel for them.
Indeed. Darrell Richeson, Director of North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, thank you so much for the work you do, for the great info you have. Have a great rest of the week, and stay warm.
Well, thanks much. And, hey, great hearing from you again, Mick. I hope you enjoy your retirement.
Oh, it's slowing down. I'm failing at retirement so far, but it's feeling good. So thank you.